Now I want to preach to everybody who's not where you want to be yet. Now I want to preach to everybody who hasn't mastered what you want to master yet, and you still feel kind of yanked around by some stuff right now. I want to preach to everybody who doesn't have the stability in your life that you want to have right now, and you are in between here and there, to let you know that God is on the way. I don't mean he's coming. I mean he's on the way. He's Alpha, he's Omega, and he's every letter in between. He's everything in between. He's God. High five your neighbor, say, stay open. Stay open. Because on the way to where you think you're going, God might do something greater. Are you open to that? On the way to where you're going, I've had this happen so many times, but I was reminded of one this week. There was a Sunday 7 years ago. I was washing my hands in the bathroom, coming out to preach. Somebody's out here talking. Okay, I'm gonna get out to my seat. And all of a sudden, this melody came into my head while I'm washing my hands. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And I stopped and thought, I kind of like that, but I don't have time for it right now. I got to preach. I got to get out there. And God said, yeah, you do got to get out there. But why don't you get out there and get something here before you go out there? Because what if I want to give you something on the way to where you're going? You know what's crazy? I can't remember to save my life. Listen to me. I can't remember to save my life what I preached that day. But watch this. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Now, how is it that what I thought wasn't even worth stopping for, we're still singing 7 years later, because God gave it to us on the way. And I pronounce, places everyone, God is on the way. Places everyone, in the name of Jesus, rise up, rise up. Take my hand and rise up. Take my hand and rise up. Rise up. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Cry if you gotta cry, but through your tears, testify. It's on the way. We trample on God's purpose sometimes, trying to get to our plan. John might have said, Peter, you can't help this man. You're going to make me late to temple. But Peter knew something. Wait a minute. Jesus said he was coming to send his spirit to live in us. So what we're trying to get to is right here. Wait. This man is a temple waiting to be restored. The thing that's right in front of you is as beautiful as the gate you're walking through. If you can stop and see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So stay open. That's what gates do, right? They open. Stay open. I know you prayed that your child would marry a missionary and serve God. They might not marry a missionary. They might not get married at all. Stay open. And God doesn't have to ask you what age they're supposed to be married by, because you didn't get married when your parents wanted you to get married either. And now we sit here like gatekeepers of what God can do and when God could do it. But stay open. Now, can I preach a little more?
Yes.
Felt like I was closing, didn't it? But that was just the gate opening, the opening of the gate. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to need some help today. Turn to your neighbor, say, places, everyone. Almost like God called Gabriel that morning. Now, the disciples have been seeing God do amazing things, right? But this is the first healing miracle that they did without Jesus. And you know how you could tell? Because Peter was doing so much. I read several times in the Bible. I thought this was kind of funny. Jesus would heal people that couldn't walk, like this man couldn't walk. But how Peter did it was so dramatic. Jesus, he would say, get up. Take up your mat and walk. And his word was so powerful because he's the perfect, spotless, living embodiment of the word of God. I can tell Peter's not so sure about this because look at it. It's so funny. Peter said, verse 6, over go, I do not have what I have given you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then verse 7, give me verse 7 on the screen. Yanking him up by the right hand. I almost feel like Peter's like, you're not going to make me look stupid. You're getting up on where it is. Because you progress and mature into it. You grow into it. But it's an amazing thing here because, you know, this man isn't even looking at them when they first walk by. Not even looking. But we understand that. Because how many people have walked by and despised him? How many people have walked by and muttered under their breath about him? How many people did he ask, can I have some change? Can I have some change? Can I have some change? And they said, no. And so Peter actually has to start with the man's expectation. You know, the first thing God is going to have to heal for some of us is our expectation. Because we just have learned to live in a place of disappointment as our emotional home. So if anything would come along and violate your expectation of disappointment, you would sabotage it and send it away. Unless God healed your expectation. Look at us, Peter said. Look me in the eye, and then I can give you something. Change your focus. If you keep looking at everybody who has walked by and told you no, everybody who has not recognized you, everybody who has not helped you, everybody who has left you, if you look at that even mentally, you will not get what God has for you. You cannot receive a present blessing living mentally in a past experience. Places, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. So you got to get what God has for you in this day. And now the Bible says that the man is looking at Peter and John, and he goes, so you got some change? Oh, yeah. I got some change for you. I got some change for you. That you will not, I got some change for you that is so great that you won't be back at this gate tomorrow unless it's by choice to walk through it. God said, I'm going to give you your autonomy back. I'm going to stop having you beg at places just for the crumbs of somebody else's approval, because you're going to know in this season that I have a purpose from God. So I'm not sitting here at this gate tomorrow. If I come to this gate tomorrow, it will be my choice to walk through it. That's what makes addiction such a sin, y'all. It's not the thing you're doing. It's the fact that you have to. It has become your God. It has become the thing that you have to do. And God doesn't want you to owe anything to anyone but him except love. I'm going to break something off somebody today. I'm going to break something off. So I'm getting somebody up today. I'm getting somebody up today with the help of the Holy Spirit. Even if I got to yank you up. I've had to yank some people up before preaching, you know. Yeah, just start yanking people up. Because the thing about it is, when you've been rejected that long, the possibility of a different direction is almost unthinkable. The possibility that they could really like you for you when the last person used you is so unusual. The fact that God could use you is just unfathomable, because look at all the reasons that you think he shouldn't. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you didn't know you? Then when I say God could use you, you'd go, all right. And you wouldn't have all of the reasons I'm wrong. Rejection. I know it isn't explicitly mentioned, but come on. He's put there every day. How many people walked past that man and told him no? But here's what I love about the Lord. God can send one person to bless you in such an amazing way that it will make every rejection that came before it irrelevant in comparison. Say that again, Pastor Stephen Furtick. Say it for the one who was told no. Say it for the one who knocked on the closed door till their knuckles bled. Say it one more time. God can send one person. One person. It didn't take everybody in the temple to get the man up. It took one person. It took one name, and it wasn't Peter. It was Jesus. God can send one person to bless you in such an amazing way that it will make every rejection that came before it seem irrelevant in comparison. God can send you one mentor in your life to teach you everything that your dad didn't teach you because he was too busy. God can send one experience in your life that will give you a lifetime education all in 3 days. God can send you one idea, and that one idea, if you incubate it, and if you set it before him and you trust him in it, that one idea can make up for 15 failures, 500 failures. Every rejection can be made irrelevant. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter who told this man no, because one person, one change, one hand, one moment, get your expectation back. It doesn't take everybody. It doesn't take everything going right. It doesn't take a stadium full. It doesn't take 10,000 followers. It doesn't even take long. The Bible said instantly he got up. One blessing. One blessing. One blessing. One word, one pivot, one new path, one new song, one new thing. Places, everyone. Places, everyone. You know, the only way you don't get it, if you're not there.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.